Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 333, the four stanzas. How I love thy law, O Lord, daily joy its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. And what follows, 333, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 135. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel's people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that the doors of thy house may have been opened by renewal on the Sabbath day, and that a part of the congregation may have the opportunity to enter through those doors. The greatest part is still called upon in this evening to remain in their dwellings. May that be our burden. May we be given to lay it before thee, and that the time may soon arrive that the whole congregation may come up. The day already is far spent, and may the prayer of those travelers to Emmaus, may that be our prayer, that it may please thee to abide with us and to work lovingly and irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit. And then those travelers of Emmaus, then thou hast revealed thyself unto them as the risen and exalted Savior. O wonder-doing God, wilt thou perform those wonders amongst us and our dear children? To that end, then we humbly ask thee for a great blessing upon thy holy word. Go from row to row, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling, and that thy word may enter the ears, that it may enter the hearts, and that thou may magnify thy free and sovereign grace, O Lord. May it please thee to convert our little children, convert our young people, convert the middle-aged, and convert the elderly ones. Then thou grantest unto us and our children this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and to find thee, and to receive the pardoning of all of our sins. Oh, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou remember thy children? Thou knowest where they are encamped. Wilt thou remember those broken reeds, so bowed down and afraid perhaps that they shall never lift their heads? And those smoking flaxes, where it seems that the flame is becoming dimmer and dimmer with the fear that it shall soon be quenched. But oh, when thou blowest with the wind of thy spirit, then it shall become different. May it then become different in this very evening hour. Wilt thou grant the further leadings to thy people? Wilt thou grant the strengthening of faith, all with an eye upon that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved himself to death, that his bride may be saved? Bless the means of grace in the family circles, help fathers and mothers with the oaths what they have made, And then we have seen, experienced how brittle that our life is. Bless our Christian school thus far. Thou hast spared all the students, the staff, although thou hast taken away a former student and also a very small one. Remember the school board when they hope to meet in this week. Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding in their responsible task? May their eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou graciously provide? Remember all those that are in administration, all those that hope to teach. There is much preparation. May it be also on their knees. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, that in the latter days of the earth, where there is so much turmoil, many a trouble, sickness, then thou wert speaking in special ways. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our nation. Remember our province. Remember all those in high authority. Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding under the circumstances? We may thank thee that hitherto, concerning the virus, that thou hast placed a fiery wall around about us. May we be given to see thy hand therein. May thou continue to do so, and may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to true repentance. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Wilt thou remember the father and mother with their loved ones that have been plunged into such deep mourning? We cannot understand thy ways. Wilt thou spare from rebellion? And wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool? And that this serious calling, that it may be sanctified. We commend unto thee all widowers, all widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Then many wounds are reopened. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones, with those that care for them. The infirmities only increase. We are all traveling to our long home. Wilt thou pour out thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure also upon our elderly ones. Remember the sick and the afflicted, the little son in the hospital. May it please thee to graciously spread thy wings over him. There are concerns, unknowns, but, O wonder-doing God, thou wast spared hitherto. May it please thee to continue to watch over him. Remember his parents, remember the two family circles, whom were blessed and gladdened with the birth of a little daughter. Wilt thou grant them a humble and a broken heart? May they be little children of many prayers. May they be children for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou surround the sick and the afflicted with thy care and with thy compassion? Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. Remember all the family circles. May it please thee to grant that love may abound greatly, and where it is different, that there may be a coming on the knees and opening of thy word, and what has been separated, although it seems so impossible for a man, may thou bring it together according to thy holy word, that thy name shall not be blasphemed. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters thou knowest, where they are in this evening hour. They are not out of thy reach, and may it please thee to keep our dear youth, but all of us, under that old truth and those old ways. Oh, that truth, where man is abased to the lowest, and where thou art exalted to the highest. Wilt thou graciously provide for our daily bread in the midst of the family circles? Wilt thou grant that dependency upon thee, we may acknowledge thee that hitherto that thou wast kept from great storms of destruction, although thou wast sent storms here and there? Wilt thou remember where the earth is thirsty, to gladden yet with refreshing showers? May there also be a thirsty people amongst us in this evening hour, oh, that have come up to thy house, that they have begged of thee, that they may be refreshed by thy gentle showers, to receive a token of thee, even the smallest token, and a further leading, a further instruction. Thou as a people that is so dependent upon thee, may there be empty vessels in this evening hour. And then by renewal, then we are called upon to dwell at the mount, at the foot of Mount Sinai. May we be given to hear thy speaking, and may it be blessed. Lord, we humbly ask thee for strength and help from the sanctuary. In this evening hour, remember all the hearers. Then thou wast yet left many good things amongst us. May we be humbled thereunder. And what maketh us and our children to differ? Oh, wilt thou grant in this evening that there may be a little bewilderment, that we and our children may still have a place in thy house. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 308, the stanzas 1, 3 and 4. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. And what follows, Psalter 308, 1, 3, and 4. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 34, the question and answers 93 and 94 and 95. Question 93, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables. The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question 94, what doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of mine own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience, submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question 95, what is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is instead of or besides the one true God, who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Lord's Day number 34, the question and answers 93 through 95, speak of the first commandment. With three thoughts in the first place, the place of the first commandment. In the second place, the idolatry forbidden in the first commandment. And in the third place, the worship required in the first commandment. The first commandment, the place, the idolatry forbidden, and the worship required. Beloved congregation, then the past Lord's Day, then we were given to consider the place of the law in our Heidelberg Catechism. And that is in the part of gratitude. Then we have heard of the giving of the law, that the Lord has spoke with an audible voice. Then we have also heard of that precious introduction, which the Lord has spoken to a trembling people at the foot of Mount Sinai. And now concerning our first point, then there are two matters that we are called upon to consider. Then, of course, the first commandment that follows immediately upon that precious introduction, that already has first much to say. And then in the second place, as we read in question 93, how were these commandments divided? Then we have heard that in Lord's Day number 2, that there was asked, O whence knowest thou thy misery? And then we have heard it out of the law of God. Then, boys and girls, maybe you can remember that we have compared the law to a mirror. And when the Lord grants eyes, and he grants light that is the work of the Holy Spirit, then we are given to see our sinnership. Then in Lord's Day number 2, then the instructors they have quoted concerning the demand of the holy law, Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40. And now in the part of gratitude, then the instructors are given to ask, how are these commandments divided? Then our boys and girls, they know that the Lord has written the holy law on tables of stone the first time, provided by the Lord, and in the second time that Moses has hewn out those tables. Thus then it is clear that the law was written on two tables. And when the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, already in Lord's Day number 2, when they have quoted Matthew 22, to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, that is the great commandment. The second is like unto it, to love our neighbor as ourself. Then already the instructors have implied that law could be divided into two parts. And now the question is, how many commandments on the first table and how many commandments on the second table? Then, of course, the children, they shall answer, you know the answer. Then you shall tell me that there are 4 commandments on the first table and 6 commandments on the second. If I would now ask, where is that written in the Word of God? Then the answer would be that it is not specifically written. The Roman Catholic Church and also the Lutheran Church, then they tell us that on the first table that there are 3 commandments, and on the second table there are 7. And to come to that number, because it is clear, according to Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40, that the first table goes, as we read in this answer, into 2 tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Then it is clear, when we consider the first 4 commandments, that the first commandment speaks who we must worship. The second commandment, how we must worship. The third commandment concerns the name of the Lord. And the 4th commandment is day. The Roman Catholics, They have combined the first and the second, of course. That does not change the wording. But in that way, they have tried to cover up or to camouflage their worshiping of images. And then they have divided the 10th commandment into two parts. But then they run into confusion because we find the law recorded in the Word of God in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5. And when we read the 10th commandment, then there is a different order in Exodus than there is in Deuteronomy. Thus the first table, that we love God above all, and the second table, that we love our neighbor as ourself. What a solemn command in those two tables. And now when we consider the place of the first commandment, oh, let us first say that the fulfilling of the law that is written in Romans 13, verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the law. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. As I read in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love Him because He has loved us first. And now concerning the law of God, that is exceeding broad, as I read in Psalm 119, verse 96, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Then those commandments, they pertain to our thoughts, to our words, and to our deeds. Then the commandments, they have a positive aspect and also a negative aspect. Thus then we may speak of sins of commission and omission. Oh, what do we mean by those big words, boys and girls? Sins of commission, that is when we do something which the Lord commands us not to do. To give an example, if you would now steal a candy out of your mother's purse, I hope you do not do that. But then you were stealing. That is a sin of commission. A sin of omission. That is when we do not do what we ought to do. If a boy or girl, when they go to bed, when they do not bow their knees and thank the Lord for the blessings which they have received, and ask the Lord that they may be kept during the night. Maybe our little boys and girls have thought about it, that when you go to sleep, what if we never wake up and it becomes eternity? Then we see, children, the necessity that we receive a new heart from the Lord. Then concerning the law of God, then it does not only concern the sin itself, but also everything that would lead up to that sin. And now when we consider our Heidelberg Catechism, then the instructors, they could have also dealt, as they have done in the part of thankfulness, that in the part of misery, that they have considered the law very broadly, that they have went through the law, commandment after commandment, but that they have not done. They have dealt with the Ten Commandments and the part of thankfulness and perhaps with a special purpose. Of course, we have heard it from Lord's Day number 2, that we learn our misery out of the law of God. Then it must be preached unto us, and that it by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may become a sinner indeed. But the instructors, they have dealt broadly with the Ten Commandments and the part of thankfulness, and that perhaps for a purpose, because when the Lord begins that good work, oh, if you want to know what sin is, ask a soul where the Lord has begun that good work. When everything is so tender, of course, we need to be instructed to give an example. When a missionary goes to a mission field, then that people, that heathen people, they do not know of a Sabbath day that has to be kept. Thus, in the part of uncovery, then that law needs to be preached. And I read in Ezekiel 8 that the Lord has said unto the prophet, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. The law is spiritual, but now in the part of thankfulness, then how necessary and how profitable it is for a church that by renewal, as it were, that the Lord holds that mirror before them, that they may examine their heart concerning the part of sanctification, that they may be truly humbled. And as we read, when the Lord spares us, then at the end of the explanation of the holy law of God, then it is as the purpose, since not one can keep that law, and that is that they may be humbled, that they may be given to flee to that precious Savior, and that the prayers may be multiplied. The law of God in the part of thankfulness. And then we must realize, congregation, that there are not two laws. Then you shall say that we know that there is only one law. But how is it amongst us and our children? Is that thought very prevalent? Maybe among many young, even older ones, that when we are still unconverted, and that is a terrible thing, but when we are still unconverted, then we do not have to keep the law so strictly, then we have more leeway. Sometime when you meet young people that have questions, and then you ask them, if the Lord would now convert you, how would it then be? Then they believe. Then that law must be kept, or it may be kept. But when we are unconverted, then we do not have to be so strict. But congregation, each Lord's Day morning, then we do not read two laws, one for God's people and one for the unconverted, but then we only read one law, and the Lord with his rightful demand that law must be kept. And now we have said it, the first commandment, what that must have been for the children of Israel when they heard the Lord speak that precious introduction, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Then the children of Israel, we read it in the context of the giving of the law before in Exodus 19 verse 8. Then the children of Israel said, all what the Lord commands us we will do. And after the giving of the law, when they have made that altar, when the blood was sprinkled, then in Exodus 24, the verses 3 and 7, then the children of Israel, they have repeated those words. But the first commandment, what an uncovering commandment. After such a precious introduction, and that the Lord would have to add for that people, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our second thought, the idolatry forbidden in the first commandment. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? And then what a solemn beginning, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of mine own soul. Has that become reality in our life congregation? Has that now become true? Do we believe that we have a soul? We are traveling to a never-ending eternity, that as I sincerely, as I desire, then those exercises are born, and then we become a true seeker on account of that love that is shed abroad in our heart. And then we learn that our sin causes separation from a God whom we cannot miss. Then it becomes the most important that our soul may be saved, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry. And then in question 95, and the answer, idolatry is instead of or beside that one true God who has manifested himself in his word. Thus that means a God, our boys and girls, they know that the children of Judah, of Israel, that oftentimes they fell into idolatry. Then they have bowed before an image, before a tree, whatever it was. And then maybe some children think about that commandment then does not apply unto us, because you do not have in your house an image or a stone or whatever it may be. No, when you bow your knees or when you fold your hands, then we pray to the God that liveth in the heavens. But now the instructors, they have said idolatry is that we have something or someone instead of or besides that has a larger place in our life than the Lord Himself. Thus, that is someone or something that we trust in more than the Lord, a something or someone that we love more, a something or someone that we seek our joy in, that gives more joy. Thus then we understand already that this commandment, that it is very broad and that it is very wide. And now when we consider idolatry, then in how many forms that it can be, what an idols, what a loves, does not mean that we may not love our family, does not mean that we must not have our heart in our work, but that there is nothing that has a place above the Lord, and nothing that draws us away from the Lord and from His service. And then we understand that what a broad commandment it is. Then in the first place, the biggest idol, that is the center letter of sin. What is that, boys and girls? What is the center letter of sin? That is I. That is the biggest idol. Oh, that awful pride. As in Nebuchadnezzar, when he has looked over that large city of Babylon, is this not the large Babylon that I have built? When we think of our families, husbands, wives, children, a great privilege, a great blessing, when love may abound in the family circles, but when they receive a larger place than the Lord, what a close examination. Think of Father Jacob, that is Joseph, and as Benjamin, that his brothers have said, that his life was bound in the life of the lad. Then we hear it already, congregation, already with the first commandment, the necessity that we ask the Lord that He may remember us. What a privilege it is that the blessings, because when we speak of idols, then we can speak also of sinful, unlawful idols. Think of sports stars, music stars. I hope that we may be kept as a separate people. It can be so addictive, and it is so ruining for our soul. But what a blessing it is when it may be granted that with the blessings which it pleaseth the Lord to give unto us so liberally and abundantly that it does not draw us away from the Lord, but that we may be brought closer to the throne of grace. Then another idol, our wealth. Think of that rich farmer in Luke 12. His crops, they were growing abundantly, and that was his all, because he did not think of the poor, and he did not remember his poor soul. He only thought of his wealth, hoped to build barns and then to have a time of rest. And we do not read that he has thought of eternity, the material things, a house, an automobile, a clothing, you can broaden it out, technology, that we trust in it to solve our problems, a pleasure. I read in 2 Timothy 3 verse 4, that there shall come a time in the latter days that men shall be more pleasures of God, more lovers of pleasure than of gold. We could speak of different addictions than our instructors. They have added more matters than they have added sorcery. That is to perform magic and to try to do special things. Then we could speak of witchcraft. Think of the magicians in Egypt when with the first plagues they were allowed to perform the same wonders that the Lord has done. Thus, with that sin of sorcery, then one tries to imitate the almighty power of God. Soothsaying, that is to predict the future. We read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong to the Lord. Think of Saul in the way of desperation, that he has went to that witch of Endor. Then we could mention horoscopes, where depending upon the position of different planets and bodies of the sky, they try to predict the future. We must not believe them, and we must not read them. Then they have also mentioned a superstition, a thoughts which have no foundation, a denial of the providence of God. The instructors, they have mentioned the invocation of saints, and then we think so quickly of the Roman Catholic Church, but that is also very present in our churches. What do I mean? And it is true. When it pleases the Lord to use a child of God or an office bearer in a special way, then there are special bands. But then we are such idol worshipers. Then how often we make an idol of them, and instead of carrying them upon the wings of prayer, we try to carry them upon our hands. And the Lord is a jealous God of his honor. Thus, everything that draws away from God. And now, many a times, when we have a special idol that we cherish, that we worship, that we trust, that has too big a place in our life, then oftentimes, then the Lord comes, and then he removes such an idol. Think of Father Jacob with his Joseph, how he was sold into Egypt. I have read of Stonewall Jackson, a general in the Confederate Army of the Civil War in the United States of America. And he has left some letters behind, which he has written to his dear wife as she was expecting, and they were blessed with a little daughter. And then you can understand how Stonewall Jackson, that he had a vehement desire to hear about his newborn daughter. But then in one of those letters he has written, "My dear wife, when I have received your last letters, then I notice, oh, in that respect, what a different time, as a general rule, the population, that the Word of God still had a great place." But then he has written to his dear wife that in her letters he was noticing that there was less of the Lord and more of this little daughter. And then he says, "My dear wife, I am afraid if this continues that the Lord shall take her away." What an instruction, not only concerning children. Ah, how many idols we can have. Our third thought, the worship required in the first commandment. But let us first sing of Psalter 241, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. "Who in the heavenly dwellings fair can with the Lord himself compare? Or who among the mighty shares the likeness that Jehovah bears?" And what follows? 241, 5, 6, and 7. The first commandment, the place, the idolatry forbidden, and now thirdly, the worship required in the first commandment. And then congregation, then when we have heard that second point, what is forbidden, then we all have to agree that we are very guilty of idolatry. We have read out of Psalm 135, where the psalmist was given to exhort that the living God, the God of the heavens and of the earth, that he may be praised, because the heathen gods, they are no gods. What a blessing it is when we may be exercised with the law in the way of uncovering, in the way of further uncovering, that it may be a schoolmaster, that sinners may be brought to the foot of the cross, but also in the way of gratitude. Then what a beautiful example of a little daughter, 6 years old. Oh, it was evident and clear in her life that she truly feared the Lord, and that she was also troubled concerning this commandment, where in her simplicity, when she has hugged her mother, that she says, "Mother, do you now think that the Lord minds that I love you so much, even more than the Lord?" What a tender life. Ah, she was ripe for heaven when she was 8 years old. But now our third point, then the instructors, they have added what is required and learn rightly to know the only true God. John Newton, he has written in a certain place that by the grace of God, the more that I may love the Lord, the more that I may know him, the more I shall love him, and the more I shall trust him, and the better I shall be enabled to serve him, to learn rightly, to know the only true God. Ah, the more that the child of God may know who the Lord is, and also in those further leadings, then it shall be to trust in him alone. Then in this answer, then we read much of Lord's Day number 10, of our Heidelberg Catechism, the almighty hand of God, whereby he upholds and governs all things, and that nothing come by chance. Trust in him alone. When we read the scriptures, then many a times we read that the kings of Judah, that they have sought help elsewhere, but then they were defeated. But when they were given to trust in the Lord alone, that childlike faith, and that in the way of providence, but also in the way of grace, to be saved only by grace alone, trust in him alone. And then what solemn words, what weighty words the instructors have added. with humility and patient submit to Him. When there are contrary ways, when there is adversity, then to believe that it all comes from the Lord. And I know when the Lord sends tribulations, then the question can come, and especially when they continue, and more so in the beginning, then the question can be, if I now only knew with that assurance that I was now a child of God, that I was one of those chosen ones, one of those that have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ, then in the greatest adversity, because we have heard it as sincerely as I desired the salvation of my soul, then such a one thinks, then I would be willing to endure anything upon this world, as if I only had that assurance that I am a child of God. Oh, patience, submit to Him. What a grace to let God be God and to be given to declare that He doeth all things well. Expect all good things from Him alone. Thus then we hear it, a tender and a dependent life. And further, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart. There we have the first petition. Hallowed be Thy name, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Then we hear at congregation, and that is only the first commandment. Then we all hear it, that we are all guilty before the Lord. But where does it now leave us? Has that now become our sorrow? Has that become our grief? Have we learned to cry for mercy? The Lord, He has the right to demand His image back. He has the right for a perfect obedience, because the Lord has created us in paradise in His image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we have heard that as justice requires that every sin be punished with temporal and eternal punishment. And then the necessity that we are given to seek, to beg the Lord for the pardoning, that may still be declared, congregation. Otherwise, we could go home and we could despair, but may be declared that there is a Savior that can save from the chiefest of sinners. Have there been people in this evening hour that have thought, Lord, now I am so guilty. Already the second point, that idolatry, but also even more guilty concerning that required worship. And now we have said the law, is in the context of gratitude, also a mirror for the child of God. We have mentioned Father Jacob, his idolatry with his family, then also the Church of God. When we may gather at the foot of Mount Sinai, then how necessary to examine ourselves. What profound things are the church. They may have a small beginning, but may there be an increase. We have heard of the church of Thyatira in this afternoon hour, that the latter works, that they were greater than the first. The Apostle John in 1 John 5, verse 21, then he has closed that letter with those words, "Little children, keep thyself from idols." Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we were called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. And then we have heard the first commandment, what is forbidden and what is required. We humbly ask thee, may it be used by thy Holy Spirit, that sinners may be uncovered, and that they may be given to sincerely seek the salvation of their soul. Then in the part of gratitude, for thy child, to smite himself upon the breast and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. We may commence another week. And what this week shall hold in, whether we and our children shall come to the end of this week, 'tis unknown unto us. But we may humbly beg of thee that thou may watch over us, Lord. Then there shall be many fathers and mothers with many thoughts and with many fears. May it be granted by parents, by mothers in the night watch, when they may embrace their little children, that it may be a wonder, and that the tears may flow with a humble and a broken heart. Lord, wilt thou grant it that we may more and more appreciate one another, when we may be spared, when we may all be in the land of the living. And then by renewal, then we commend the whole mourning family unto thee, that shall be called upon to go to the cemetery, Lord. Wilt thou grant a word to speak, wilt thou uphold, and wilt thou sanctify the callings, ach, Lord. Do a great work amongst us and our children. We commend unto thee a young couple who in the near future hope to be united in holy matrimony. Wilt thou spare? Wilt thou remember? May they be given to beg of thee that thou may remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and also for them it is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Wilt thou bless the labors of our hand, wilt thou grant strength and courage. May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. May it please thee to keep us from harm and danger, from an unexpected and from an unprepared death. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies? Wilt thou graciously watch over each and every one of us in this night, that in the morning hour, that we may see the light of another day? Wilt thou grant meditations upon what we have heard concerning the first commandment, O Lord, convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people, that by thy grace that we may be given to sincerely seek for the salvation of our souls. By nature we are lost, and we need to be saved. Glorify then thy great and worthy name in the midst of us and our children. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day, for the help and strength which thou hast given. Wilt thou pardon everything that was sinful in speaking and in listening? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 107, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. And what follows, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.